God will put up with many, many things, but being replaced is not one of them. So pray more about God.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's Word. In this episode, we talk about prayer. Do you know how God wants us to pray? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren showing us what the Bible says about praying in God's name. Thanks for listening.
In one survey about prayer, of the 678 respondents, only 23 said that they were satisfied with their time praying. 23. Why is that number so low? There's probably lots of reasons, but I'm going to suggest one today and preach about it. And that one of the reasons that I suggest people might not be as satisfied with their prayer life as they would like to be is that we tend to pray too much about ourselves and not enough about God. Now you may be saying, whoa, didn't God design prayer so that we could ask him things? Doesn't God want him to pray about ourselves, to ask him about our needs? Well, we can do that in such a way that it's really not healthy in prayer. Let me tell you how. So here's what I mean when I say we pray too much about ourselves and not about enough about God. Praying too much about yourself, you do that when what you're asking and how you're asking it is more important than God giving you the privilege and grace of prayer and God hearing and God answering. See, that's what I'm getting at. You pray too much about yourself when you, by your prayer, put demands or conditions or some kind of boundaries on God instead of in yielding faith and trust, letting go and letting God answer with impossibilities that he can do. You pray too much about yourself when you're so consumed by a specific outcome when you pray. God, please give me a red Corvette. I need that red Corvette. And a blue Corvette is dropped off my driveway and I don't even notice it and I complain about it being in my driveway because it's not a red Corvette. See, it's too much about myself. I'm so consumed with my outcome that I don't even see how God can answer my prayer in different ways at different times that are actually better than what I prayed for. So that's praying too much about ourselves. God doesn't want us to pray that way. He wants us to pray more about God. And here's what that means. That means trusting in God and so that I'm not trying to be in control. So I pray in God's name. When I pray in God's name, I pray about God. And if there's a name to be in control in my life, I want that to be God's name, not my name. If there's a name that I want to be answering my prayers, I want that to be God's name, not my name. If there's a name that I want to be a saving name in my heart and in my life and in this church, in this community of Pflugerville, I want it to be not my name, but God's name. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So I want to tell you about some of the people in the Bible now, some different examples of Bible people, some who prayed more about themselves, prayed in their own name, and then some who prayed more about God, prayed in God's name. So the prophet Jonah, when he went his own direction instead of God's direction, that was more about Jonah than about God. He was praying in his own name, and he almost died at sea. Eve in the Garden of Eden, the first woman to live on the face of this earth. Eve wanted what Eve wanted, not what God wanted. And so she listened to a talking snake who was evil, convinced her to eat the forbidden fruit instead of listening to God, and that doomed us all if it weren't for salvation of God through Jesus Christ. I think of the wicked kings of the nations of Judah and Israel, God's chosen nations in ancient times in the Old Testament. And these kings were so wicked that they made treaties and they became allies with pagan nations and pagan kings instead of trusting in God. They were praying in their own name. They were more about themselves than about God. See, so when we pray more about us than about God, we're really praying as if we are God, and we're not. And God will put up with many, many things, but being replaced is not one of them. So pray more about God. The prophet Elijah prayed more about God. He prayed in God's name. God said, I will not be mocked. I will not be replaced. And the prophet Elijah mocked the prophets of Baal because those prophets worshiped a fake, false God that did not exist. And Elijah worshiped the true Lord God of Israel. And Elijah prayed for fire to come down from heaven from the God who is real and alive. And that's praying in God's name. Abraham bargained with God for a wicked city, an evil city, full of wickedness that any Christian might want destroyed and wiped from the face of the earth. And Abraham bargained with God in prayer for that city and for his nephew Lot. And that's praying in God's name. Jesus collapsed in the Garden of Gethsemane and spoke the words through sweat and blood, not my will, but yours be done, Father. Jesus prayed in God's name. I want to read you something now from Christian author Philip Yancey from his book, Prayer Does It Make a Difference? Outstanding quote about, as he describes how he rethinks prayer when it comes to God's name, and he's picturing a flowing stream, okay? So there's a stream flowing, and here's what he writes. He says, it occurs to me, thinking about prayer, that most of the time I get the direction wrong. I start downstream with my own concerns, and I bring them to God as if God did not already know. I plead with God as if hoping to change God's mind and overcome divine reluctance. Instead, I should start upstream, where the flow begins. When I shift direction, I realize that God already cares about my concerns. My uncle's cancer, world peace, a broken family, a rebellious teenager. God cares more than I do. Grace, like water, descends to the lowest part. Streams of mercy flow. I begin with God, who bears primary responsibility for what happens on earth, and ask what part I can play in God's work on earth. Here's a shorter explanation from Martin Luther, a spiritual forefather of the church. And he writes about what this means when we pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or holy be your name, in the Lord's Prayer. Here's what Martin Luther writes, two things about what that means. He writes this, God's name is kept holy when his word is taught in its truth and purity, and we as children of God lead holy lives according to it. So praying for God's name to be holy is praying about God, isn't it? It's starting upstream. And it's praying in this way. It's approaching God based on the promises of God that we already have, his promises that we're forgiven, that we're his children, that he gives us the privilege of prayer by a blessing. So it approaches God based on his promises, and then it applies God's promises and word in prayer. God, if you say this, then I'm going to pray this. God, I know you promised this, so I'm going to pray for this. It applies God's word in its truth and purity, and then it asks God to become involved in his very answer to that prayer as we lead our lives according to it, as Martin Luther writes. So let's do this now. Let's seek to understand God and approach God by searching the scriptures, and we're going to go to the book of 2 Thessalonians. So this is Paul writing to the Christians in Thessalonica on behalf of himself and of their other pastors, Silas and Timothy. So it's a group of pastors. Paul's an apostle, and he's writing to the Thessalonian Christians about praying in God's name. Here's what he says. We constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling. So Paul's praying for people. Look at that here. He's praying, I pray for you, he says. He's praying for people, but his prayer is not for those people to do something for him. Kind of like a man might pray, God, please help my wife stop nagging me about being so lazy. He's not praying for someone else to do something. Paul is praying and asking God to do something. See that? I pray that our God. And he's asking God to do his work in these people, these Thessalonian Christians, and through these people. Now, they're not worthy on their own. Paul prays that God would make them worthy. Okay, so they're not worthy of on their own with sin living in them, but Paul knows that God's grace has more worth than sin. And so God places his name on them and on us. And Jesus places his name on them and on us. That's why these Thessalonian believers and we are called Christians. When we believe in Jesus, we're called Christians. God's name is on us. He places his name on us to make us holy. And then that gives us worth, not just in who we are, but in what we do. Paul continues. He prays to God that by his power, by God's power, he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. So let me paraphrase that. Paul is saying to the Thessalonian Christians and to us, to you, he's saying, I pray that your good intentions graduate, that they don't just stay in school, but that they graduate and they blossom and they grow and they go into the world, your good intentions. He says, I pray that God presents you with a diploma for your prayers that are based on his promises and on his principles, and then they do something because they have God's name behind them. I thought of this the other day as I was in my doctor's office, and I don't go in there very often, thankfully, at least not yet. And so I'm in my doctor's office, the nurse has come in, she's asked her questions, she's done what she needs to do, she leaves and says, the doctor will be right in. And of course, it seems like hours. And so I'm scanning the room, taking in the objects, and there's pictures, there's diplomas on the wall, and so, man, I scan right past the picture of the horses on a ranch somewhere in Texas, and I skim past the chart of your digestive system, and what am I drawn to? I'm drawn to the diplomas of my doctor hanging on the wall. Did he graduate summa cum laude, or did he fail? Did he flunk? Where did he graduate from? What school? And oh, I see, it's a credible school that he went to. And oh, he graduated top of his class. Oh, that's good. Why? Now that makes me feel really good. Why? Because my doctor, at some point, is going to cut me open at somewhere. He's going to prescribe medications that could be lethal if not given correctly. He may even go into surgery, and my life might be in his hands. So I want to know that he's credible, that he has what it takes if I'm going to put my life in his hands. And then I continue looking, and there's some accreditations and some certificates. And okay, I'm feeling good about my doctor. I trust this guy. That's how God wants us to feel about prayer. And so Paul knew this. And so Paul wrote, we pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him. So praying in God's name is praying for his name to be noticed by people who hear you talk about God's truths and watch you practice what you preach. And so Jesus wants to be honored by others through you and promises that he honors you with his grace and his forgiveness, his blessing, always, and then at special times as his answer to prayer. So Paul continues, verse 12 here, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So whose grace calls you child and promises to listen to anything you have to ask? God the Father's grace. And whose grace gives you his name and represents you to God and takes your prayers as your advocate and friend, whose grace takes your prayers and in his name takes those to God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to finish up with a visual. I want to give you a visual comparing two objects because as I've grown in my prayer life myself, and I've learned to pray in some different ways and put different practices into place. I describe it this way. I pray fewer shopping list prayers right now, and I pray more whiteboard prayers. And here's the difference between a shopping list prayer and a whiteboard prayer. A shopping list prayer is a list, and this is not bad. This is I've used prayer lists for years to keep track of people who ask me to pray for them. You ask me to pray for you. I write it down. I put it on a list, and I keep that list, and I pray through that list. It's very specific, very organized, very regimented, and over the years, I've discovered that I'm growing through that to pray more whiteboard prayers that aren't as specific. They still remember everyone that I was remembering before, but I pray about that list, I pray about it in a different way. So it's like grabbing a whiteboard, which is great for collaboration, like a Google Doc. Great for collaboration. It's a whiteboard, and there's whiteboard markers, and I approach the whiteboard. It's white, which means I'm pure and holy as a child of God. And I grab the marker, like in my thoughts, I'm thinking I'm going to pray for this, and then I scribble a note here and write an arrow there, and I want to pray for this, and this is what I remember to pray about, that person who asked me to pray for them, but I'm going to pray about this too. And then I just pause and just put the pen down and meditate for a while on the Word of God. You know, what does God think about this? What would God want in this? And maybe read some scripture and think of God's promises, and then in that process, God takes up the pen and starts writing on the whiteboard. And God, the Holy Spirit, you know, guides that through His Word. And again, this is a process. It may not even all happen in a minute. It may take 10 minutes, may take an hour, may take a couple days. As I'm working on this whiteboard project, God and I are working on the whiteboard project. And my prayers are more flowing, more flexible, more open to God's leading, less specific so that God can answer them in some ways. And out of that comes, as my whiteboard prayers, both in prayer and as a result of it, I'm not just asking God to change things, but God is changing me. And out of it comes, I'm growing closer to God as He draws me to Himself and works on me. And this is prayer about God, and that is how you pray in God's name. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this incredible gift of prayer that you give to us. Thank you for the guidance and the blessing and the promise that you've given in your word today about who you are and how your name is holy in prayer. God, we pray that we make your name holy in prayer as we seek to pray according to your promises and your principles, and as we live holy lives according to your word. I pray, God, today, if there's a person here who's not prayed before, or who's new to the faith, considering Jesus and just learning to pray, that your words today would draw them to you, and that they would understand that believing in Jesus means that they are your child, God, and they can bring anything to you at any time. God, thank you for your word, for answering our prayers, and for being with us in worship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.